Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto he who is the associate of the members of the Yadu dynasty and who is always a problem for the non-devotees. He is the supreme enjoyer of both the material and spiritual worlds, yet he enjoys his own abode in the spiritual sky. There is no one equal to him, because his transcendental opulence is immeasurable. So, an elaborate purport here by Srila Prabhupada. So you might want to follow along if you have your book or your phone. So, purport. There are two sides of the transcendental manifestations of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. For the pure devotees, he is the constant companion, as in the case of his becoming one of the family members of the Yadu dynasty, or his becoming the friend of Arjuna, or his becoming the associate neighbor of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, as the son of Nanda Yashoda, the friend of Sudama, Sridharma, and Madhu Mangal, or the lover of the damsels of Rajbhumi, etc. That is part of his personal features. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. And by his impersonal feature, he expands the rays of the Brahma Jyoti, which is limitless and all-pervasive. Part of this all-pervasive Brahma Jyoti, which is compared to the sun rays, is covered by the darkness of the Mahatattva, and this insignificant part is known as the material world. In this material world, there are innumerable universes, like the one we can experience, and in each of them, there are hundreds of thousands of planets like the one we are inhabiting. The mundaners are more or less captivated by the unlimited expansions of the rays of the Lord, but the devotees are concerned more with his personal form, from which everything is emanating, janmadyasya yataha. As the sun rays are concentrated in the sun disk, the Brahma Jyoti is concentrated in Golok Vrindavan, the topmost spiritual planet in the spiritual sky. The immeasurable spiritual sky is full of spiritual planets named Vaikunthas, far beyond the material sky. The mundaners have insufficient information of even the mundane sky, so what can they think of the spiritual sky? Therefore, the mundaners are always far, far away from him, even if in the future they are able to manufacture some machine whose speed may be accelerated to the velocity of the wind or the mind, the mundaners will still be unable to imagine reaching the planets in the spiritual sky. So the Lord and his residential abode will always remain a myth or a mysterious problem, but for the devotees of the Lord, will always be available as an associate. In the spiritual sky, his opulence is immeasurable. The Lord resides in all the spiritual planets, the innumerable Vaikuntha planets, by expanding his plenary portions along with his liberated devotee associates. But the impersonalists who want to merge in the existence of the Lord are allowed to merge as one of the spiritual sparks of the Brahma Jyoti. They have no qualifications for becoming associates of the Lord, either in the Vaikuntha planets or in the supreme planet, Golok Vrindavan, described in the Bhagavad Gita as Madhama, and here in this verse as Svadhama of the Lord. This Madhama or Svadhama is described in Bhagavad Gita 15.6 as follows. Na tad pasyate suryo na sashanko na pravaka yadgatva na nivatante tadhama paramam mama. The Lord Svadhama does not require any sunlight or moonlight or electricity for illumination. That dharma or place is supreme, and whoever goes there never comes back to this material world. The Vaikuntha planets and the Golok Vrindavan planet are all self-illuminating, and the rays scattered by the Svadham of the Lord constitute the existence of the Brahma Jyoti, as further confirmed in the Vedas like the Mukunda 2.2.10, Katha 2.2.15, and Shvetashvara Dara Upanishads 6.14. na tatra suya bhayati na chandra tarakam neme vidyuta banti kuto yan agnihi tan eva bantamanu pati sarvam tasya bhasa sarva idam vibhati. In the Swadham of the Lord, there is no need of sun, moon or stars for illumination, nor is there need for electricity, so what to speak of ignited lamps? On the other hand, it is because those planets are self-illuminating that all effulgence has become possible, and whatever there is a dazzling that is dazzling is due to the reflection of the Swadham. One who is dazzled by the effulgence of the impersonal Brahmajyoti cannot know the personal transcendence. Therefore, in the Ishapanishad 15, it is prayed that the Lord shift his dazzling effulgence so that the devotee can see the real reality. It is spoken thus: Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tattvam purushan aparvrinu satya dharmaya drishyate. O Lord, you are the maintainer of everything, both material and spiritual, and everything flourishes by your mercy. Your devotional service, or bhakti yoga, is the actual principle of religion, satya dharma, and I am engaging in that service. So kindly protect me by showing your real face. Please, therefore, remove the veil of your Brahmajyoti rays so that I can see your form of eternal bliss and knowledge. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvahe Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadhavetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitamscha. He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Vipasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Kam Karoti Vachalam Pangolam Gayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatharinam Ramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So, beautiful verse here and purport by Srila Prabhupada, giving a beautiful descriptive explanation of the scale from being a mundaner to a devotee. So we want to move along this scale. And actually the jiva is moving along every moment. We can either be moving closer or away from Krishna. We have to touch the shakti. So here, this is Prabhupada starts by explaining there are two sides of the transcendental manifestation, material side and the spiritual side. So we want to see which direction we're going to move into. Prabhupada gives an explanation of the mundaners who are focused on the material side, and the spiritualists who are focused on attaining Krishna, bringing Krishna nearer. So in a conversation in Chicago with Satsarup Maharaj in 1975, Satsarup Maharaj says the scientists have concluded that there is nothing more than this material world. They've come to this conclusion. How? He says that whatever they see, they say there is still more of the same. So scientists can see a certain amount, and they concluded that because we can see this much, therefore beyond that is going to be the same thing. This is the scientific conclusion. Prabhupada gives a brilliant answer to this. He says, then, seeing and not seeing the same thing? That is, means you see or not see. Is that what it means? The seeing or not seeing, that is contradictory? Yeah? So Prabhupada is saying that, does it mean that what you see and what you don't see is the same thing? Because this is what the scientists have concluded. That I can see this much, therefore what I cannot see is the same. So in one line, Prabhupada smashes that conclusion by saying, actually, because you can't see any further, that doesn't mean there is something more. There is not something more. So in the modern world, people have their faith in this type of fallible knowledge of the mundane. Yeah? They have their faith in the scientist whose knowledge is defective. Their knowledge is based on an illusion, you know, a misconception of reality. And because of their imperfect senses, they're unable to measure reality. Therefore, they make mistakes. And to cover that up, they cheat others. These are the four defects of the conditioned soul. So this is the quality of knowledge, the standard of knowledge in the world today. Yeah? It is illusioned, it is imperfect, it is false, and it is defect, and it is cheated. It is based on cheating. But our source of knowledge is different, of course. Our faith is different. It's faith in the scriptures, which is apurusheya, yeah, which is not made by a material man, or is not made by a materialistic person. It is spiritual in nature. And it's really interesting because in the times we live now, people are very much questioning the scientist and their ability and their knowledge and their rationale. Yeah? People are looking for something substantial. People are looking for truth. People are questioning the so-called reality, the so-called knowledge and the science that we have today. So here in this verse, Shukadeva Goswami is about to begin speaking on the process of creation. Okay? But before he begins to speak on this, he's actually praying. He's actually praying to the Lord. Now what's interesting is that among all the assembled personalities at the River Ganges here, where the scene is taking place, there are personalities from all over the universe. There are saints and sages from all over the universe. And they all unanimously agree that Shukadeva Goswami is the most senior person. He's the most authorized person to speak. Yet he here is praying. He's praying to the Lord for empowerment to speak. You know? He himself he's most qualified, but still, he's invoking the presence of the Lord so that he can be empowered to speak even beyond his own realization. That is empowerment. Yeah? So here there are a series of prayers before he speaks on the process of creation. In this particular verse, the word namo is repeated, right? Namo. Yeah. Namo, namas, namaha. Three times. Yeah. So he's not asking Krishna to help him. He's not pleading Krishna. He's like begging Krishna, please Krishna, empower me. He really wants Krishna to come and be close to him, and empower him to speak about the creation. So, this is important, you know, because devotional service is on the basis that we are acting to please Krishna, right? We may have knowledge, we may have some skill, but the primary thing is actually that we want to please Krishna with our activities. Yeah, we shouldn't make our activity the primary thing. but then pleasing Krishna. We should want to please Krishna, have his empowerment, so that we can be an instrument in his service. Then we can actually act beyond our capacity. So this is what it means to move closer towards Krishna. We can move closer to Krishna by being empowered. And the process of devotional service is actually such an extraordinary thing in this world. You know, even in the world's religions, this concept of devotional service isn't fully comprehensible, isn't fully understood. It's a secret, even amongst the religions. Because we're not praying in our devotional service for any of the Lord's opulences. We're not praying in our devotional service for the facilities that the Lord can provide us. In our devotional service, we're praying for the Lord himself. We want Krishna himself, not any of his energies. And this is the distinction. So therefore, Prabhupada says that spiritual life is like a razor's edge. You know, what are we praying for? What are we desiring? Are we desiring something from the Lord? Or are we desiring the Lord? Do we want Krishna in our life? Do we want empowerment from Krishna so that we can serve him? So this is a secret, actually. Are we conscious when we're acting? Are we conscious that we want to please Krishna in our each and every action? Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karma anavita anukulyena Krishna nu chilinam. Are we actually conscious that we're removing our karma and our jnana from our devotional service? So anya bilasita, is it only devotional service, exclusive devotional service? Because we can have this concept sometimes, and I'm pretty much speaking for myself, that I just need to get it done. I just need to get my service done. Or I just need to get it right. I just need to do something right. Now, of course, getting things done and getting things right is important in devotional service. But getting the consciousness of getting it done is karma. Getting it done. I just need to get it done, get it done, get it done. The concept of getting it right is the concept of jnana. This is right, this is wrong. This is right, this is wrong. This is right, this is wrong. So the jnani thinks like this. This is right, this is wrong. But the devotee's concept is give it up. So give it up. Give up the ahankar, the ego, the I am the doer. I'm the enjoyer. So the first thing is actually that I want to please Krishna. That comes first. I want to please Krishna in this thought and this activity and this endeavor. So give up the concept of I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the proprietor. But how can I do this for Krishna? Then of course we need the knowledge and skill. We need the ability and the right thought process behind getting activities achieved in our endeavor to please Krishna. So I'll give you some examples on this. So the get it done concept, the karma concept. There's a story of King Riga in the 10th canto of Nishima Bhagavatam. King Riga is a very pious king. And he decides that he's going to utilize all of his opulences to please the Lord. So he gives so many cows in the charity. That's one feature of his charity. He gives so many cows. He gives young cows to all of the brahmanas in his kingdom. So he has so much opulence, and he decorates the cows, and he takes care of the brahmanas so well in his service. And he gifts them each some cows. But on this incident, what happened was that one cow, or one calf, that was gifted to one brahmin, moved over to the group of cows in another brahmin's quota. And the first brahmin, he complained that actually this cow has moved over, and that cow is actually my cow. And the second brahmin said, no, this cow is in my quota, so he's my cow, or she's my cow. And so King Riga was in a complexity here, and his consciousness was like, to get it done, to get it done right. So it was beyond his control, what he could do. It was beyond his control, even though he was the most pious person. And as a result, they cursed him, and he had to be born as a lizard. Yeah, and it's a long story, but then of course Krishna delivers him, because the Yadus, they find him in a well, and Krishna then delivers him and retells this story. So it's quite amazing how someone who could do something so extraordinary as give thousands and thousands of cows and make such a small mistake and become cursed. Because of the consciousness, because of where he placed his consciousness. It was on just getting the activity done. So then how about getting it right? Get it right. Get it done, get it right. So karma, and then jnana. So one example of this is the Vedic Brahmanas. So in the Krishna book, it's explained that the Vedic Brahmanas, they were performing sacrifices in Sri Vrindavan Dham, of all places. They were performing sacrifices so that they could attain Swargaloka, of all places. They're already in Vrindavan Dham. So they're performing sacrifices to please Lord Indra. And Krishna, Balaram, and the Gopas, they want to have some lunch. And they don't have sufficient food. So they're feeling hungry. And so the boys, they ask Krishna, what can we do? And Krishna suggests that on the name of Balaram, you can go to these Brahmins in the nearby village and request them for some food. And so the boys submissively do that. They go and they request the Brahmanas, who don't actually listen to what the boys have to say. They're so absorbed in getting it right, they're getting their yajna right and getting everything done in its proper time and place and circumstance. Yeah. But what actually happens is that the boys, they request for charity. They ask for, food at the most appropriate time, because there is a time in the sacrifice when one can ask for, the oblations to be given. The fruits of the yajna to be given, the offerings to be given in charity. But the Vedic Brahmanas, they're more concerned about, getting all the elements of their sacrifice right. And so they neglect the boys. So the boys go back to Krishna again. And then of course Krishna says, go and ask the wives now. Because when you ask for something and you're begging, you don't always get. So you should be ready to accept. So then the boys go and ask the wives of the Brahmanas. And immediately, of course, the wives, they willingly give all the offerings, which are now ready to be given. And the boys are able to have lunch. And the ladies actually bring the offerings to Krishna themselves, personally. They're coming and they're serving Krishna and Balaram. So you can see the stark difference here. And so without ego, they're giving up. They're actually giving up their position of having the results of the offering, and they're giving it to Krishna first, yeah? Yat karosi yad nasnasi yad jahosi dadasi yat tapasya kontya tat kurushva mad arpana. That whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So this is the way to move closer to Krishna. First thing, Krishna, this is for you. Whatever opportunity we get in our devotional service, Krishna, this is an opportunity for me to move closer to you. Then how can I use my skills and knowledge to accomplish that? Yeah. So here, Sukadeva Goswami, as we said, he's in this mood of prayer. He has the knowledge, he has the ability to explain. But still, he's in a mood of begging from Krishna that please empower me to perform this service of speaking the Bhagavatam. So next word here is vidurakashya. Interesting. Far from mental speculators. Yeah, it means vidurakashya means someone who's far from mundane wranglers. So this is the devotee, one who's far from mundane wranglers. They're always dependent on the Lord. They're not in their mundane way of thinking. Yeah. For them, Krishna is very near. So this is where we want to be. We want to be nearer and nearer to Krishna. Yeah. And we want to not be wandering in our mind. We don't want our mind to be wandering away from Krishna while we're performing our devotional services. Yeah. Another word is used here, kuyoginam. Yeah. So Prabhupada translates this as of the non-devotees. Kuyoginam. Yeah. So this word yoginam we're familiar with, yeah? Yoginam api sarvesham madgatendan taratmanam. Yeah. So in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, yeah. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmana. Krishna resides in the heart of the real yogis. Yeah. But here, kuyoginam means of the non-devotees. Actually, this word ku, which is in front of yoginam, ku means bad. So, kuyoginam means bad yogi, a non-devotee. Or someone who's actually disconnected from Krishna. Yeah. Because yogis mean one who's connected with Krishna. So we want to be close to Krishna. We want to be connected with Krishna. We don't want to be the bad yogi, the one who's disconnected. We don't want to be performing our devotional service, getting it right, getting it done, but not offering it to Krishna. So we want to be Krishna conscious. And this is why devotional service is a great secret. That we always want to be conscious that what we do is for Krishna, what is done for Krishna is for his pleasure. So how do we achieve this? So there's a secret how to become closer to Krishna, how to be conscious of Krishna, how to invoke Krishna's presence in one's heart. Shri Shri Radha Gopalananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Shri Vanitai Ki Jai. How to bring Krishna close to our heart. Krishna gives us the secret himself. Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva tatha tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. Yeah. This is a famous verse for the preachers and Sankirtan devotees. My dear Narad, actually, I do not reside in my abode, Vaikuntha, nor do I reside within the hearts of the yogis. But I reside in that place where my pure devotees chant my holy names and discuss my form, pastimes, and qualities. Yeah? So this verse is actually about how Krishna is not known to the mundaners. Yeah? That his spiritual abode is so far away they cannot even comprehend. But we shouldn't think that Krishna is far from us. We should want that Krishna is very close to us. And how do we invoke Krishna's presence? We have to make the Dharma closer to us. Yeah? This is the secret. And how do we do that? Because Krishna doesn't necessarily reside in his Dharma, Vaikuntha, as it says here. Yeah? He doesn't reside in the hearts of the yogis, as it says here. But Krishna resides where his glories are being chanted. What an easy process we have of invoking Krishna's presence. Right? Krishna gives his secret to Narada that he doesn't reside in Vaikuntha. He doesn't reside in the heart of the yogis, but he resides where his glories are being heard and chanted. So this is how we can make Krishna closer to us. Yeah? So this is why it's written here in the verse that this is a problem for the non-devotees. It's so difficult to how to bring Krishna close. But for us, devotional service is so accessible. This secret is so accessible. If we're just simply conscious of the fact that we can bring Krishna so close to us. It's an extraordinary thing. So Prabhupada explains how this is possible. Because the presence of the Lord in the form of the transcendental vibration, the Vaikuntha atmosphere is invoked. Yeah? So Vaikuntha is invoked by the transcendental vibration of the Lord's name. In other words, that Vaikuntha atmosphere is transmitted to the heart. So this can only be achievable by those who are devotees. Yeah, so sattvatam is mentioned here in this verse. Sattvatam. So sattvatam means the yadus, actually. Yeah, or more broadly speaking, the sattvata just means the devotees. All the devotees are sattvatas. Yeah. So Krishna, he appeared in this family of the sattvatas. He appeared in the Yadu dynasty, as we know. Yeah. And Prabhupada gives an interesting explanation to this in the beginning of the Krishna book. He says that just as the Malaya hills are famous because of the chandan which is found there, similarly the Yadu dynasty is famous because Lord Krishna has appeared there. Yeah? So it's not that Krishna is of the Yadus, but the Yadus are famous because Krishna decided to associate with them. Now, in the same way, we can also become a sattvata, a family member of Krishna's, as was explained in the purport here. We can also become associated or affiliated with Krishna. Yeah? And so how do we become a sattvata, the question is then. Yeah? Prabhupada explains also in another way that just as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, the sun is not born of the east. The sun doesn't belong to the east only. Yeah? So the same way that Krishna, he doesn't belong only to the Yadus. Krishna actually belongs to everybody. The sun is there for everybody's benefit. In the same way, Krishna, he can be part of our life as well. Krishna can be close to us as well. We can have a relationship with Krishna as well, if we're conscious of it in our devotional service. So in one place, Prabhupada explains this term, sattvata, in the first canto, chapter 9, text 32. Prabhupada writes in the purport, that Krishna sometimes descends as Lord Krishna, that he sometimes descends as Lord Krishna, as he is, and sometimes as Lord Chaitanya. Both are the leaders of the pure devotees. Pure devotees of the Lord have no desire other than the service of the Lord, and therefore they are called sattvata. So the devotees of the Lord are called sattvata because they follow the Lord. Yeah? Nityo nityo nam chaitanas chaitananam. That we are the followers of Krishna. That's how you become a sattvata, to become a follower of Krishna, by devotional service. Or more specifically, we can say we are followers of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya is giving us the holy name. Lord Nityananda is giving us a process by which we can share the holy name with others. Yeah? So even more specifically, we're the followers of Srila Prabhupada. You know, we should put ourselves in the position of Dasa, Dasa, and Dasa. That we can be the followers of the followers of the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Now, Prabhupada, of course, is himself a sattvata, a pure devotee of the Lord. So, another word mentioned here is Radhasa. So who's ever heard that the name of Srimati Radharani is not in the Bhagavatam? Because here it is. Actually, in three places it's mentioned, this term, Radhasa. Yeah. So this Prabhupada is translating here as I'll find the exact words that Prabhupada uses. By opulence. Yeah? And of course, Srimati Radharani is the goddess of fortune, the original goddess of fortune. Yeah? The origin of all opulences. She is Krishna's Adi Shakti, she is Krishna's source of reservoir of all pleasure and opulence. Yeah? So here, the same word is used, Radhasaha. Yeah? Or in the term of possessiveness. Like Radharani is the possessor of all opulence. Radhasaha. So actually, the prayer here is that Sukadeva Goswami, he's praying for empowerment. And the indication is who he's praying to. Srimati Radharani. Actually, this is probably a class in itself, so I won't go into that in too much detail. He's requesting the benediction of Srimati Radharani. He's praying here. He's praying for The Lord who is a possessor of Srimati Radharani to bestow mercy upon him. Now the next word here, Dhamna, yeah, the holy Dham. And the holy Dham may seem like something so far away, especially during these last couple of years of COVID, we've not been able to travel to the Dham. But our objective is, of course, to bring Krishna closer to us as devotees. We want to experience Krishna, who doesn't reside in the Vaikuntha, who doesn't reside in the heart of the devotees, but he resides where his glories are chanted. Yeah? So we can actually create that Dham. One of the five most potent processes of devotional service is Maturavas, isn't it? To reside in the Dham. Yeah? And it's explained that even if we can't physically reside in the Dham, then we should bring the Dham to us. We should make an environment where Krishna will want to come and reside. Yeah? So Gaurapanim is coming up upon us soon. And we can learn from Srimati Radharani how Navadvip Dham manifested. So there's a pastime given that in the spiritual sky, Krishna was with one of the gopis. I believe it was the Viraja Gopi. And then Radharani wanted to invoke Krishna's presence. She wanted to invite Krishna closer. So she created another garden in Vrindavan. She created another garden. And she made it very beautiful. And she'd put the most select flowers and trees and a different environment, the setting, the lake and the rivers, and invited different animals to come and make an even more beautiful garden than was already available in Vrindavan, in Golok Vrindavan. And that garden became Navadvip. That place where the rivers are and the beautiful atmosphere became known as Navadvip. And that invited Krishna to come from the Viraja Gopi to Navadvip in the spiritual world. So this is explained. So in the same way, we can also try to invite Krishna. We can create a Dham in our environment so that we can invite Krishna. This is the lesson that and this is actually what's been done by all our acharyas. Even at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva, he's praying, you know, in the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, yeah, which is one of the lines here. Does anyone know the first verse of the Bhagavatam? Yeah? Okay, I'll admit I don't know it. But one of the lines there is, Dhamna svena sada nirasta uhakam satyam param dhimahi. Very important. The first verse of the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva, he prays, therefore I meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. So this is our process that has been given to us. Vyasadeva, even at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, he's praying to become closer to Krishna. He's meditating on the Dham. He's meditating on the Dham so that the Dham becomes closer to him, closer to his heart, where he can install Krishna in his heart. And the same prayer here is by Sukadev Goswami, to bring the Dham closer. He wants Krishna's presence to be closer. And we see this actually time and again from all of our predecessors. You know? Even at in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, it's Dhritarashtra, he's inquiring from Sanjaya. Yeah? Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yutsava. So Dharmakshetra, he wants to know what's happening at Dharmakshetra. He wants to know what's happening in the holy place of Kurukshetra. Yeah? And how does he get that knowledge? From Sanjaya. Sanjaya, he has the Dham in his heart. He's meditating on Kurukshetra Dham. You know, he almost has, it's explained, Prabhupada writes that, it's like a television, you know? He has like a television in his heart. He can see by meditation what's happening over at Kurukshetra. So his connection with the Dham is so strong in the heart. He's able to see actually what's going on. Yeah. So this is actually the process. Prabhupada explains that the transcendental sound vibration in one interview, one television interview that Prabhupada had, he explained that our Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is like a radio signal, you know? It keeps us connected. It keeps us connected with Krishna. Yeah? And we can maybe one day get to that stage where we have the Mayapur TV in our heart. We have that connection in the heart. We have that radio signal which is so strong, which carries the rays of the Brahman, and Krishna can manifest here in our heart. Because the Dharma isn't a physical place. It's not a three-dimensional place. Dharma is not a physical place. It's a transcendental place. It can manifest anywhere. So, and Srila Prabhupada, he personally exhibited this. He was carrying the Dharma in his heart. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan Dham, but actually he didn't leave Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada brought Vrindavan Dham to everywhere, including here, Bhaktivedanta Manor Dham. Prabhupada could carry Sri Vrindavan Dham all over. So this might seem like a very lofty thing, you know, to be able to carry the Dham in the heart. But it's very interesting what Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam I've been reading in the 10th canto. So in the second chapter, the appearance of Lord Krishna, of course, Lord Krishna appears in the Yadu dynasty we discussed. He appears as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And it's said in that chapter where his birth is imminent that the Lord was transferred to Devaki not by an ordinary way for a human being, but by Diksha initiation. So that the Lord, he appeared in the heart of Vasudeva and then he was transferred to the heart of Devaki. And that transfer, Prabhupada writes, is initiation. Yeah? So Prabhupada continues, thus the importance of initiation is mentioned here. Unless one is initiated by the right person, who always carries within his heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot acquire the power to carry the Supreme Godhead within the core of one's own heart. And Prabhupada also writes, if one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do something, the core of his heart becomes a Dham, and thus he becomes so extraordinarily powerful that not only his enemies, but also people in general are astonished to observe his activities. So this is the result of initiation, actually. You know, the valuing initiation. By initiation, we can install the Dharma in our heart. That's what's given to us. The seed of the Dharma is given to us, by which we can invoke the presence of the Lord, as said here. Thus, the importance of initiation is mentioned here. So Devaki, she received the Lord not by physical process, but she bore the Lord in her heart and in her womb by initiation, he said. The Lord did not need to live within the womb of Devaki, for his presence within the core of her heart was sufficient to carry him. So we will have this opportunity of being initiated in a bona fide disciplic succession, as Prabhupada has explained. And we will have this opportunity, and just like Vidura, you know, also in the Bhagavatam, sorry we're over time now, so I'll wrap up on maybe this last couple of points. Now Vidura, he's described as being, I'll just read one quote here. Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutani Swayam Vibho Tirtha Kudvanti Tirthani Svantas Tena Gar Gadabrita. He's described as being a verily holy place personified. Vidura, he actually left the assembly of the Kurus and he went traveling to all the holy places. And when he came back to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he spoke this sloka. He said that you yourself are verily holy places personified. Yeah? Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So this is actually our movement. This is our Sankirtan movement. Wherever we go, wherever we chant, those places can become places of pilgrimage. This is what's been done by all our acharyas. This is what's been done, and this is what's actually expected for us, from us. By process of initiation into the disciplic succession, this is expected of us to also go and chant the holy names everywhere, to make the Dharma everywhere. Yeah, because Krishna is the enjoyer of the material and spiritual worlds. Yeah. So let us not be like King Kamsa. I'll finish on this point now. Because King Kamsa, he had the presence of Vasudeva and Devaki. But what did he do? He locked them up. Devaki, she was carrying Krishna in her heart, in her womb. Yeah? She was initiated by Vasudeva and carried Krishna in her heart. And Prabhupada writes that because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot. Or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of human society. So we don't want to be in that position. We don't want to be a cool yogina, a bad yogi. We don't want to be initiated but then not distribute what gift has been given to us. So by the process of initiation, we are gifted with the holy name, the holy Dharma. And by distributing it, we are fulfilling the purpose of our initiation, to spread the name and fame of the Lord. Yeah? So this is how we can bring the Lord closer to us, how we can be a member of the Sattva, the spiritual family, and also perform the family business, most importantly, to spread the name and the fame of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I'm sorry we're over time. If there's any questions, maybe I could take now or later on. What's the normal? We're okay to take questions? Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the class. The question I have is about, they mentioned a lot about the Brahmajyoti in the purport. And I was wondering in terms of those who are like Brahmavadis who are not opposed to Krishna or envious of Krishna, why are they, can they get the presence of, feel some sort of a presence of God in the Brahmajyoti that they're attracted to it?
Yeah, again, because devotional service is a secret, you know? It's a secret of all secrets. It's the king of knowledge, and also at the same time a secret of all secrets. Not everybody is aware. Not everybody is aware of Krishna being the supreme personality of Godhead. Yeah? Not everyone is aware that Krishna, in his spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, is the source of the Brahmajyoti. You know, if we want to get right to the root of something, yeah, then that is Goloka Vrindavan, that is the sarva karana karanam, the cause of all causes, Krishna. So that's not known to everybody. So your question is, why do they focus on the Brahmajyoti? Is that right? Yeah? So because Krishna is not known to them. For most people who look at spirituality, you know, it's either nirvisesha or sunyavadi. It's either there's nothing or there's just some light, you know? Yeah. And so therefore it becomes our business to spread the name and the fame of the Lord. So yeah, there are people who don't have a full understanding of spiritual life. But we've been given that understanding, we've been given that good fortune, as unqualified as we are.
Thank you.
To make the difference. Okay, unless there's anything else we can end here. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.